This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's a Tell the Truth Thursday. So happy you're with us today.
Say Tell the Truth.
What's that? No. Oh, I'm happy the listener's with us. I guess not. It depends on. I don't know everybody.
Sure.
Scott from King of Prussia's listening. I'm not so happy he's listening.
Well, I'm sure he's happy because the morning show asked the tough questions this morning.
Yes. Well, they could ask them about that.
I know.
You know, can't ask Trey about that. All right. On Tell the Truth Thursday, we want to know what you really think of the Eagles offseason. Also, if you have any reaction on the Darius Slay, CJ GJ, AJ Brown podcast and Twitter kerfuffle. It is funny when you see athletes doing the same stuff media people do, like regular people do, fighting on Twitter, fighting on podcasts, just won the Super Bowl. I love it. 215-592-9494. Also, in a moment, we will get to some interesting things that Rob Thompson said about a high-level player potentially moving a position and the batting order. I thought that was interesting as well this morning on the morning show. Aaron from Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Aaron?
What's up? Oh, hey, y'all speaking. My bad. What's up, fellas?
What's up, Aaron?
What up,
hey?
Yo, you know what? A couple days ago, Jack, he really got underneath my skin. Because you know what the problem is?
What?
Jack doesn't have any siblings, so he's the oldest. Jack, what year were you born?
1994.
There we go. He's too young, right? So when
the year I graduated high school, by the way, makes me feel old.
Every year, and usually around WrestleMania time, he takes a shot at pro wrestling.
It's awful.
And this is the problem, right? So during the peak, I know y'all like the 80s wrestling. That was it was whack. That's where it's the best. But when he was old enough to understand what it was, 11, 12, it had already peaked, and it was going into the, you know, the baby John Cena era, so it was not appealing. Now, if he had an older brother or older cousin who sat him in front of a TV around 98, 97, even though he was young, he would have appreciated what that time slot from 9 to 11.
I was a Stone Cold Steve Austin guy for a little bit there.
No, you weren't. Don't patronize me, Jack.
People don't like when I attack wrestling. I got some words down at spring training as well.
No, it's because you can change the storylines on the go. You know, you watch a show. If you hate a character, that character's gonna stay as is. It won't change. Like, I hated the Skyler character on Breaking Bad. She could never change because the script was already written. In wrestling, you could change the script continuously. Now I hear what you said. Like, eventually you grew up. Like, I grew up. I grew out of wrestling. Just like. 2002, I grew out of it, but then I came back on once they developed the network because I could go back and watch old stuff. So you do grow out of it, but then once it became available to your hands, you're like, oh, it's kind of good again. Let's stop going there. And I know what you're doing, Jack. I got to let it slide. I know you're a troll, but listen, man.
I mean, he's being honest, though.
That you have to grow out of it?
Well, no, he's being honest how he feels about wrestling.
He's being honest, but he's trolling wrestling fans. He's trolling wrestling fans.
Wow.
So this is my take on, because Spike, you said something about the Zach Bond signing.
Yep.
But we complained about having linebackers for years, so why you not so so positive about the Zach Bond signing? I know he only had one great year in his career. But we know he works in Vic Fangio's system.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that it probably will he be a defensive player of the year candidate? No, but I don't think it will be a drastic fall off from what he did.
I'm not negative on any one of the individual things at all. Like, I understand. I think you could take each individual thing and say, I understand why they gave Saquon the money. I understand why they paid Zach Bond. I understand why they gave Kevin Petula the offensive coordinator position without interviewing as many as one person. I understand why they have to let Milton Williams and Josh Sweat go. All of those things individually, I think, are fair and you could understand. When you look at them as a collective, that you're... as a collective and take a different view on it, I can say Saquon was under contract. Zach Bond, we just paid probably 50% more than anyone said they were going to pay for him. And you're right. They haven't had a linebacker as good as him, but they have had good linebackers without paying them. In their 2017 Super Bowl year, Nigel Bradham. 2022 Super Bowl year, TJ Edwards. And then losing two of their three best defensive line players from this year, because of these other things that you did, I guess what I'm saying is, as a collective, it doesn't seem like a team that I'm going to look at next year and go, look out, we got better. Now, the offseason is not over yet. It could be different, but I can't look at what's happened so far and say, if I'm just being neutral about it, they all felt good, but if I'm just being neutral about it, I have a hard time saying, yeah, thumbs up, that's an A.
Okay, how much better do you think we have to get? The Cowboys are going to be the Cowboys. The Giants, they may have the quarterback, it's going to be a rookie. How much better do you think we have to get if we're already the best?
But you know what I'm saying? You always have to get better.
No. How much better do you think we have?
I have no idea. I don't know how good the other team. I could also say we were 10 yards away from losing to the Rams. And then let's say that happens. It's the same team that lost to the Rams. So let's say that team lost to the Rams. We gave Saquon a bunch of money. We paid Zach Bond more than we said. We lost Josh Sweat. We lost Milton Williams. And then Kellen Moore left, and we just promoted the pass game coordinator without talking to anybody. Like, how would that feel if Jalen Carter, if that offensive lineman from the Rams doesn't blow an assignment and Jalen Carter doesn't sack Matt Stafford?
Would have felt much better. We didn't go in a prevent defense the whole time they were driving downfield.
Well, that doesn't matter.
But you're not answering.
That does matter.
It actually does matter.
They couldn't move the ball all game, and then they went in the prevent defense. Almost scored twice.
And the guy in three minutes. And Isaiah Rodgers pretty much had a pick in his hand, but the guy took it away from him.
But we can do this all day, but I guess what I'm saying is they're the same team that almost lost. Now, they didn't lose to the Rams.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is, if that play doesn't happen and we see all these moves, because we would still be looking at next year trying to do the same thing. We'd still be trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, if we lost to the Rams, there would be major shakeups because the meltdown last year and us losing to the Rams at home after having a very good regular season. And we're not getting Myles Garrett because the bum-ass Raiders just made Max Crosby the highest-paid non-quarterback. Like, how do you sign the defensive end knowing you don't have a quarterback? And there's no guarantee you're going to be able to draft a quarterback. What pick they got?
I think they got the sixth pick.
Yeah, something like that.
There's no guarantee you could draft a quarterback. No, and you sign a defensive end to the biggest stuff like that, and that's why LeBron James takes matters in his own hands because DMs do stupid stuff like that.
Look, it always gets
exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I went there. The great place.
Oh yeah, that's right.
50,000 points, by the way.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Listen, all you king guys, you're riding high right now.
Well, I was just saying, I got Mr. Basketball in there who ran James Harden out of town.
Oh, I ran James. Oh yeah, James Harden. That would have fixed everything here. Yeah.
Well, hold on. Uno had 50 last night.
Don't call him Uno to me.
When LeBron went to the Lakers years ago, my fandom kind of went away because he a Laker, but I'm back, man. I'm back.
Yeah, of course you are.
Well, and they have a great young coach in J.J. Redick.
Yeah, D-Rider Aaron over here.
Wow.
Wow, I stunned Aaron with a left hook there. Yeah. All right, well, give us for next question today, give us a TV show you'd like to have back.
My show growing up, who started all this, you had some OG shows, but the Best Damn Sports Show. That was my show.
Oh, that was a good show.
That was a good show, too, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah. I think I was a...
That's where Jimmy said we're front runners.
Yeah.
Oh, was it that show?
I think I was a call-in guest on that show.
Oh, really?
I certainly was not an in-studio guest.
But you're a guest.
I think I was a call-in guest.
That was a good show.
Yeah,
that was a good show.
Yeah, the Best Damn Sports Show.
I think a lot of the...
Arnold, John Sally.
A lot of the cool TV...
Wasn't Kruk on that show?
Yes.
Crockett was on the show. Yeah.
Yep. There's a lot of good TV sports shows that aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a couple of cool debate shows now, mm-hmm. but the golden age of of sports TV was really 90 to 2010.
Now it's just hot take nonsense.
Yeah, we don't like that. We don't like hot takes. All right. The morning show is in Clearwater right now, and they spoke to Rob Thompson this morning. And I mentioned a caller, Scott from King of Prussia, was furious yesterday that I didn't ask Trey Turner why he wouldn't move to the outfield. And I said, because he hasn't been asked yet. And the morning show did ask Rob Thompson about that, and here's what he said.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a conversation, but I have the final say on who's going to play where. And, you know, the whole Harper thing came up. I think basically what he was saying was he'll play anywhere we want him to play if it helps the team. And I think that's where that all stemmed from.
Do you think Trey's of the same mindset?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I do.
Wasn't there more to that?
Dabrowski had a longer
answer. Okay, all right, so we'll get that.
Yeah,
he said Trey feels the same way. I don't think Trey feels the same way.
I think he wants to play shortstop.
Yeah, he's repeated that a bunch of times that he's a shortstop. It actually reminds me of when Ben Simmons, when people used to ask Ben Simmons about his position, and he would say, I'm a point guard.
Yep.
That is the same way that Trey is responding. Now, it didn't really work out for Ben Simmons.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that point guard. So we'll see what happens with Trey.
Yeah.
So then Rob Thompson was talking about whether, you know, where everybody will hit in the lineup. Trey Turner said yesterday he's happy to hit leadoff. And here's what Rob Thompson had to say.
So I know you're not going to declare who your leadoff hitter is today. I understand. Here's where I'm going to try. Do you know right now who you prefer wins the job?
I do not, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
I want to put the best lineup out there that gives us the best chance to score the most runs.
Mm-hmm. If Trey leads off, would Bryce Harper be the two-hole hitter?
Yes.
Has to be, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there you go. So we assume Trey's going to hit leadoff, which means that Rob Thompson did confirm that Bryce Harper will be the two-hole hitter. Mm-hmm. So that's good. That's what
Great
we all
news.
Wanted. That's
Great
what we
news.
All wanted. So now
we'll see if it's good.
There
when we get
it
the
is.
Results.
There. Well, and we'll also see if it does actually happen. Yeah, we still have to see it happen.
Yeah.
And Jack, you mentioned to me the last time they had Trey hit leadoff, it lasted 15 games.
15 games.
Yeah. Now, did Trey get a hit today? Because Trey had not had a hit.
No.
I see they're in the eighth inning. No.
Now he did hit a ball to the wall.
He did. I saw it.
So we count that.
Wow.
Wind-gated.
Yep. There you go.
Kepler went yard.
Wind-gated.
Yep. Windblown.
Ike's stealing your bit.
You're saying, it is wind-gated.
Yeah.
So we are at March 6th, and Trey Turner doesn't have a hit yet. I think he's what? He's 0 for 12 so far this preseason?
Yeah.
Or this spring training?
It's a nice little 143 OPS.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's still, yeah, it's spring. He's working on
he's
stuff.
He's working on things.
That's what I've heard. 215-592-9494. Ken from Cinnaminson. You're on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, John. How are you today?
Oh, we're great.
What up, Ken?
On Tell the Truth Thursday, can I make a Phillies observation before I...
Can you do it second?
Sure.
Okay.
Just like Harper, you can hit second.
Yeah, that one's going to hit second. That'll be in your Bryce Harper position. Give us your Trey Turner first.
Okay, well, I don't know, considering that the offseason hasn't really even started yet, I don't know how you cannot give it anything but an A. The best free agent that would have been available in the free agent market if he had reached free agency would have been the first team All-Pro top five defensive player of the year who never got there. And, you know, sometimes things that you don't do are just as good as things you do. So the mere fact that they have not yet traded years of draft capital for a 30-year-old defensive end who is going to blow up their Super Bowl window because they're going to have to give him $200 million with all these other guys on defense on their rookie contracts. That in itself is, to me, good. So,
can I ask you something, Ken? Why is it blowing up? And I don't think it's just Myles Garrett. And the offseason has started, right? They've cut Darius Slay. They gave Saquon Barkley $41 million guaranteed. They gave Zach Bond $36 million guaranteed. They hired Kevin Petullo. So, like, it's started. It's not over, for sure, but it has. Right. It's definitely started. So, here's what I have a trouble with the Eagles cap thing. On one hand, I hear the cap doesn't really exist for the Eagles. How he figures it out, he figures out this. The other players even talk about it. On the other hand, when there's players that we don't get, we say that would have ruined our cap. So I can't figure out which one it is.
Well, I'm not somebody who says there is no cap for the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, that I love Howie, but that kind of takes it to the extreme of ridiculousness. There is a cap for the Eagles. Now, Howie is the best there is at figuring out how to maximize what he's got. And Mr. Lurie is very generous at, you know, handing out signing bonuses like they're Halloween candy to avoid having, you know, tremendous cap impacts. But there is a finite amount of money, and, you know, part of what makes Howie Roseman the best there is in this business is that he is the best there is at managing that finite amount of money to assemble a roster like we saw win the Super Bowl this year. But, you know, when you've got essentially your entire starting offense under contract, which is basically what you have, and then you've got a bunch of young guys on defense who are on rookie contracts, you know, that's where it gets – that's where you have to be smart. And, you know, so if it's a so far grade, so far it's an A. Now, we'll find out what happens a week from now when, you know, when the legal tampering period, which to me is the greatest contradiction I've heard – when that begins, we'll see what happens. But right now, if you told me that before free agency, the Eagles had already secured Zach Bond, I would have no problem with it. And Kevin Petullo was the guy that I wanted to be the offensive coordinator anyway.
Why? So, why?
Because that's who the winningest head coach in the NFL wants to be his offensive coordinator.
Why did he hire him last year then?
Well, because he didn't have the cachet.
Oh, but he's the winningest coach in the history of all of sports.
Well, now, and he's a Super Bowl winning coach now.
I can say that, but he was the winningest coach in the NFL. You know, so you know, 80% of WIP was firing him. Now you can't find somebody in the city of Philadelphia who wants to fire Nick Sirianni, and apparently nobody ever said fire Nick Sirianni. So. You know, I just get a complete chuckle out of that every time that comes up. On the CJGJ thing with Slay real fast, there was a guy who used to be on this radio station who famously would say that social media is neither social nor media.
Yes. Yeah. Even though they're both.
He was right.
Okay.
So it's not like the first time ever that you have two guys that work together that don't necessarily like each other very much. It's just that, you know, 40 years ago when there was no internet, this kind of stuff wouldn't get splashed all over the internet for, you know, wannabe amateur journalists who want to act like they're inside NFL sources to take that stuff and repost it and turn it into something.
But that makes it different, Ken. It makes it different, the fact that it's public.
I'm not saying it's not different.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's not different. What I'm saying is that it definitely makes it harder to navigate it. But it, you know, you've got a bunch of grown men with big egos who are all, you know, alpha males. There's no world in which you're going to put those guys together every year in the same building and they're all going to love each other. There's just no world where that happens. So I don't think it is, you know, the kind of the chinks in the armor that some people want to turn into. Here we go already. It's starting to fall apart because they won a Super Bowl. I just think it's two guys that don't like each other very much.
We say kinks in the armor now.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I don't want to.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good, Ken. What was your quick Phillies thing?
I haven't been mad about the Phillies really since the postseason postmortem press conference after they lost to the Mets.
Yep.
Listening to Dave Dombrowski talk this morning, I was once again furious. Like all I need to do is listen to Dave Dombrowski talk for 15 minutes, and I get enraged.
Now we're going to play that at 4:00. We're going to play that in its entirety for people. What they should listen for, was there one answer specifically that made you the most mad?
Well, on Tell the Truth Thursday,
yes,
he uttered a complete lie. Either that, or his memory is failing him, because he said this morning that he never says that's baseball, and he said that's baseball in the postseason postmortem press conference after they lost to the Mets.
He did do that. He also defended their plate discipline in the postmortem.
Yeah, he did bring that back up.
Okay. Oh, great. Yeah.
I think we need to have a, you know, a new rule around here. Dave Dombrowski is not allowed to say we have a championship club until they actually win a freaking championship.
Whoa.
I like that. I like that. See, Ken, sometimes me and you are on the opposite side. Sometimes me and you were simpatico. What is next question today? What is in, because Around the Horn is going away, what is one TV show in its prime that you'd like to bring back?
So there was a TV show that I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but I think it was the inspiration for the Wire, because it was written by Barry Levinson about Baltimore police, and it was called Homicide: Life on the Streets.
Oh yeah,
the best police show ever on television.
Homicide was a great show.
Yeah,
Homicide was definitely a great show. That's a good call, Ken. That was a good show, Homicide. So, you know, we're losing most likely the best edge rusher the Eagles had this year in Josh Sweat.
Yeah.
But there are now three potential options for edge. And there's one that just got permission to seek a trade.
There you go.
That is a very, very good one. And I also think guys are seeing what Max Crosby got and are like,
yes,
get me somewhere that's going to give me an extension. And I can promise you that the place that this player is at is not giving him an extension. Ike knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, all right. So we will talk about the edge rusher market next, along with your calls on Tell the Truth Thursday. Tell us what you think of the Eagles offseason so far, really. You got to be honest. That's the rule. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. I never want to interrupt it when you play the DMX songs. I never want to talk.
Yeah, you guys are DMX heads.
Well, I feel like people would rather just hear DMX than me.
That's always the fear of playing songs that are too good.
That are too good. That we are the bad guys for interrupting them.
Or they turn us off and put the song on because it reminds them of a good time.
Oh, yeah.
You could do that at 6 o'clock. It is it's Tell the Truth Thursday on the WIP Afternoon Show. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. How would you grade the Eagles offseason so far? 51.8% say A, 39.4% say B, 6.1% say C, and 2.8% say D. Now, I can tell you there could be some options to turn that into an A, and we have a long offseason to go. And one spot on the roster that we think is probably going to be a little light is defensive edge. Mm-hmm. Is edge. So a couple of guys have been released over the last 24 hours, and one has been given permission to seek a trade. So here are the two guys who have been released. Joey Bosa was released by the Chargers. Javon Hargrave was released by the 49ers. And now Trey Hendrickson, who is awesome on the Bengals, has been given permission by the Bengals to seek a trade. Here is the this is per Adam Schefter. Then this could go toward Eagles Insider of the Year if the Eagles go get Trey Hendrickson. Here is the quote from Hendrickson. "It's been an honor and a privilege to represent Cincinnati over the last 4 years," says Hendrickson, the NFL sack leader. "I love this city and organization. I appreciate the privilege of now being allowed to explore my options." So I think we would all say that Hendrickson is the best of the three, but he is definitely going to cost you draft picks, and he will cost you another contract, a giant number. I do think, I think if you're not willing, if the Eagles aren't willing and able to trade draft picks and pay Myles Garrett, now Trey Hendrickson's younger, so maybe a draft pick perspective.
Oh, older.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
How old is
Hendrickson?
How old is Myles Garrett?
Myles Garrett's 29.
Yeah, Trey Henderson's 31.
Oh, my bad. Okay, yeah. Well, then it's a completely different thing. So he definitely costs you less in a trade. You definitely have to
pay. Sorry, he'll be 31 this year.
This year.
He's 30 right now.
30 right now. He definitely, he'll cost less in a trade than Myles Garrett. You do still have to pay the guy, though.
Yeah, so I think he led the league in sacks this year.
He did.
And he had 18 last year. So coming off back-to-back years of 18 sacks.
By the way, if you're the Bengals, what are you doing? You're franchising T. Higgins, pissing him off, and then you're telling Trey Hendrickson he can go look for a trade. Now, maybe they're thinking the same thing that the Eagles thought last year with Hassan Reddick. You know, go find something, and it's not there. Somebody's going to pay Trey Hendrickson, though. Somebody's going to trade something.
It won't be the Bengals.
Yeah, no. So what do you think?
The Bengals are back.
So if it costs less in draft capital, but as much in money as Myles Garrett costs. It's not going to cost as much, but it's going to cost you a lot.
What's going to cost you a lot.
What's your interest in Trey Hendrickson?
Again, for the right price, I'm good with it. I don't see how, if we can't do Myles Garrett, I mean, if you can go get Trey Hendrickson, you might as well go get Myles Garrett.
Right.
That's the way I look at that.
Right.
And Hendrickson is good. He's good, but I think Myles Garrett is better. But he's also going to cost you a little bit more. I'm kind of, These are good players, man, great players. But I got Zach in the fold. I need Mekhi Becton in the fold. Then I'm good after that.
Well, they need an edge. What about Joey Bosa?
I think Joey Bosa is much cheaper and it's only going to cost you money.
Take a flyer. Now, he's not as good.
Yes. But, you know, he'll play the run as well. He has a little bit of an edge. Listen, he hasn't won. Comes over here, gets with these guys, joins the exciting whites. And come on, man, we're off and running.
Hendrickson would also help in that category.
The exciting white category.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yep.
Wow. Look at us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If he was being released, it'd be easy. The problem with these guys that are under contract and these teams are telling them to seek a trade is nobody wants to give up the draft capital and then pay you.
Well, I also
he won't get Crosby money, though, right?
I don't know.
He's 4 years older than Crosby. And
is he 4 years older? Yeah.
If he's only a year older than Garrett.
Yeah, well,
Garrett's already won Defensive Player of the Year.
Maybe Garrett's a young 29.
Maybe it's 2 years for Hendrickson but it's got to be $70 million guaranteed.
Well, look at Reddick,
or $60 million guaranteed.
Yeah. Reddick didn't get paid, and he was heading into his age 31 season.
And this was the reason why the Eagles didn't want to pay. Well, part of it, I believe.
Didn't want to pay
Hassan Reddick because he was going to be older.
Right.
Right. So they kind of wanted to get younger in that department. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you I'd be against it, but obviously I'd want to see what it costs to get him. I mean, that always matters.
And what about Hargrave?
Hargrave, I would be interested in him as well.
Right.
I'd be interested in Hargrave. The Eagles still have Jordan Davis under contract. They're probably still waffling on what they want to do with him future-wise, but they know they have him at a minimum of 2 years if they want him for the next 2 years at a reasonable price, and he's still fairly young. You know, when I talk about them going down to that combine last week, you know, we say it in passing, but it's legit when people talk about that's the beginning of sort of free agency where a lot of agents go down there, GMs, they get a sense of what the buzz is about certain players, right? And I'm not so sure the Eagles didn't find out that Sweat, Milton Williams, there's some teams out there that probably are willing to spend big time money on these guys. And if the agent is getting wind of that as well, he's not going to have his client sign a contract where he knows I can go get you $5 million more dollars.
Absolutely.
So I say that to say with Zach Bond, I wonder if the Eagles got wind that there may be a team or two out there that wanted to sign Zach Bond.
Well, they had to get that
win. They didn't even let him get the free agency to find out. Because sometimes they'll be like, well, let's see what they actually want for you out there.
The number they paid for him looked like a number to me that they knew he was going to get offered that number in free agency.
Right.
We could all look at it and guess, and I make fun of Elliot, but he's doing the best job he could. And we're all just guessing what these guys are going to get. The projection on Bond was lower than we thought, but Rossini was right on that, and she said there are going to be teams that are going to be willing to pay Zach Bond.
Yeah.
Now, she was wrong in that she didn't think the Eagles could afford it, and they could, and they decided to do it. But that number, whether you think it's a good number or a bad number, is much higher than we guessed what the guarantee was, right?
Yeah.
We guessed 3 years with $20 million guaranteed, basically. And it was 3 years with almost double the guarantee.
Yeah.
36 guaranteed. So that's a lot more. They must have known.
There's no doubt, because why else would they rush to do it?
Right. They would just let him test the market.
Yes, if they felt it was going to be lower than that, they would have just said, okay, see if you can find that out there. No, they got a sense of probably that's the market he was going to be in. They're like, no. But they knew that they wanted to bring him back. It was just a matter of how much is it going to cost us to bring him back.
Yep. Well, I think the rest of free agency is actually really – the free agency actually in the rest of the offseason is I think is really compelling for the Eagles because I know – because we're not bringing everybody back. The Milton Williams and Josh Sweat losses will be big losses. Whether it's the right decision to pay them or not, they were good for the Eagles this year. Mm-hmm. They were really good. They were a big part of their defense this year, and they're going to have to replace that production somehow.
They can find a rotational D tackle in the third round. That's how they found Milton Williams.
Yeah, but Milton Williams wasn't Milton Williams until 4 years later.
And the Eagles probably felt like they helped develop him into what he became.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust the scouting department now, Spike. We draft well.
Recently.
Yeah.
You kept saying the Eagles didn't have any players 18, 19, and 20. It was same GM.
Starting in 22. Okay. Starting in 22, we started drafting well.
Yeah, it was like, same GM.
What year did we get? 21. Right? The year we drafted Devontae. That was
Devontae
21.
Is 21. Yeah,
because we got Devontae and then we got Landon.
Yeah.
Right? In the
same
second
draft.
Round.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's when we figured out that the SEC pretty good. Yeah. No more Stanford, TCU.
Bama and Georgia. That's where they're going. Now you can go listen, the Big Ten is the best conference now.
Right. Michigan State.
Yeah, it had to be Michigan State. It doesn't have to be State.
We got a couple of go green, go whites in Clearwater.
Where's Cooper from?
He's from the Big
Iowa,
Ten.
Yes. Yep. Exactly.
No, that's not necessarily a powerhouse, Iowa. 215-592-9494. Yeah, 215-592-9494. Tell the Truth Thursday on WIP. Before we get to your calls, Jack is going to tell you the truth about National Appliance Warehouse.
That's the only place
you can go. Come on.
Only place. Listen, builders, designers, contractors, we know that you're out there and you're working hard. And to make your job easier, when your clients are ready to purchase perfect new appliances, you got to head to National Appliance Warehouse.
Can I tell you something honest, Jack?
Yeah.
My contractor who's doing work for me in my new house in Mullica Hill, when I asked him about appliances, you know what he said? He goes, I always use National Appliance Warehouse.
That's good.
It happened.
My parents also went to National Appliance
Warehouse. There you go.
Last weekend, got a new dishwasher. So stock's blowing up. Anyway, so National Appliance Warehouse, I've been talking about them for about a year now. And if you haven't experienced it for yourself, what are you waiting for? Get down to National Appliance Warehouse. One, you're going to get the best price thanks to Price Assure, which is a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that instantly updates price tags all throughout the store. Tax-free Delaware helps as well, and great savings events always going on at National Appliance Warehouse. But you're going to get a great experience. Mark Stamacca and his team truly believe in building a family-like atmosphere. You talk about culture with the football team. It matters to National Appliance Warehouse as well. When you walk in there, you'll feel like a part of their family. And like I mentioned, the most important thing, the perfect appliance for you. Over 100 brands, 15,000 square foot showroom, from sub-zero to budget, they have the appliance for you. So visit NationalAppliancesWarehouse.com or their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
Tell the Truth Thursday on the WIP Afternoon Show. David King of Prussia, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
What's up, Dave?
What up, Dave?
So I am on Tell the Truth Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
What I am outraged at is some of the opinions that I've heard on this dial. For starters, Spike, I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Who was our offensive MVP last year?
Saquon Barkley.
Who was our defensive MVP last year?
Zach Bond.
And who has been taken care of right now?
Saquon Barkley and Zach Bond.
Okay. Now, let me get back to the Saquon thing, because what was the biggest issue? Let's rewind Eagles history here. When T.O. wanted to be taken care of, what did we do?
We didn't take care of him.
Right. Saquon Barkley. For all we know, Saquon, his agent, could have went to the Eagles and said, listen, you need to do something to make my client happy. We don't know if that happened or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it was brought up on these radio, on these airwaves a couple weeks ago.
Do you think Saquon's the same guy as T.O.?
I do not.
Okay.
And
so if Saquon didn't get taken care of, that's part of the point. It's part of the point. So do you think if they didn't give Saquon $40 million guaranteed, Saquon would have been doing sit-ups in his driveway ripping the quarterback? Okay.
I do think there's a part of Saquon, and there's a part of the people around Saquon that wanted Saquon to get the record. And the fact that Saquon didn't get the record, I think the Eagles did do right by Saquon.
Yep.
But I also think why they wanted to do it was, A, to take some of that money and put it towards just guaranteed money to lessen the salary, the cap hit slightly.
Until somebody shows me that the cap has actually been remedied this year by the Saquon signing, I'm not going to believe it. And
I'm pretty sure it was Dave Zingaro, and you can look into this, that said it went from like 7.75 to like $6 million or something like that.
Okay, so it's a million dollars.
A little, but still, it's something when you're trying to re-sign a player the caliber of Zach Bond. And the thing that I just don't understand with everyone being, certain people being outraged over Zach Bond, like there were way too many insiders reporting that he was going to be priced out for the Eagles. You know, so if the Eagles drew a hard line and said, no, we're only going to give you 3 years, $45 million, and we lost him because we weren't willing to go, we would be, I mean, the phone would literally be hot. You know, everybody would be going crazy.
Yep.
So the fact that they did go up and you know, realize that, hey, we have to have our two most important people taken care of. I give the Eagles credit in that regard. And I don't understand why more people aren't. It's like,
well, everybody's giving them credit. Dave, everybody's giving them credit. I mean, more than half the people.
He's talking about you, man.
Yeah, you're just talking about me. Yeah. I understand where you're coming from on each individual thing. I do. But I also look and see other needs on the football team. Now, they have an opportunity to remedy those needs, but they're losing a ton of production on defensive line. Again, I'm bringing the offensive coordinator thing up. And I hear what you're saying on Saquon, and yes, he was the offensive MVP last year, but you're not paying him for last year. You're paying him for next year.
I get that.
That's also different than T.O., because T.O. could have been the same guy the next year.
But I'll say this. Saquon's a different cat, and I think he gets motivated more along the levels of the great ones. Like, all right, these guys really believe in me. I'm going to go out and prove it. You know, so I think he's a little bit of a different cat in a good way,
okay,
not in a bad way.
Okay,
so.
Dave, mm-hmm. For next question today, give us one TV show you'd love to have back on the air.
Well, I'm OG here, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, man. That was my childhood right there.
Oh, that was a good show, man.
There you go.
We all love Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I love the early years.
Yeah,
Fresh Prince. I don't like when they brought in the next kid after Ashley, when they brought the little boy in. There was a younger boy on the show after a while. You know, they have to always replace a kid with a new kid at some point.
Well, they're not cute anymore.
So when they brought him in, I was like, I'm out.
That's when they brought Leo into Growing Pains, Leonardo DiCaprio,
right,
briefly on Growing Pains, because they needed a younger one. Yeah, we lived through...
Love Hillary Banks, though.
Yes. I believe is the golden age of sitcoms.
Yeah.
Like, we had great sitcoms from the 80s all the way.
Yeah.
Even like late 70s. And I didn't watch Taxi.
I'd go late 70s.
I didn't watch Taxi when it was popular, but I watched it on Nick at Night or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we had Cheers and Cosby Show and Family Ties. Yep. And
well, don't forget about Happy Days.
Happy Days.
Oh, and Shirley.
Right. That's all late 70s, early 80s. Yep. I mean, we did have the golden age.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. We had great television.
Perfect Strangers.
Back then, we had appointment TV back then.
Yes.
We didn't have all these options.
All these streaming idiots.
You know, so we sat down in front of the TV and, like, you know, everybody, your favorite show came on. Then it went into the 90s and you got to deal, you know, we forgot about the Cosbys. That closed out the 80s.
Yep.
Right? And you went into the 90s and you had, we mentioned the Seinfelds and the, what's the other one, Friends and Martin and... You know, in Living Color, all those shows. Like, that was the 90s.
And then Cosby Show, Into a Different World.
Yep, Different World. Yep, forgot about that one. Yeah.
Meanwhile, we had these sitcoms. Meanwhile, these losers like these kids, Jack, just sitting looking at Twitter all day while we're watching appointment TV.
Right. Now those kids are arguing on Twitter and blowing the Eagles up. It's not going well.
No, yeah. Now, everybody needs appointment TV again.
Well, Jalen's trying to bring it back with some of his outfits. I mean,
he's more 70s.
Looks like a sitcom character.
Yeah, he does. Yes, occasionally. What were you going to say there? Oh, I thought you had something else.
Nah, right. I'm just cooking.
All right, 215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown, you're on WIP.
Welcome back to Philly, man.
Thanks, dude.
What up,
good
Chris?
To be back.
Ike, what exactly about Hillary Banks did you love?
Well, Hillary Banks. Nick Saban used to kill me by how stiff I was. She had that. I'm not the smartest, but prettiest sort of charm to her.
Speaking of which, another one that had that charm was what's her name from Married with Children, Christina Applegate.
Oh yeah, Christina Applegate.
Another
exactly.
goat one.
Yes, yes. And was she not pretty?
She was
exactly.
Yep.
Spike just taking shows right off.
Oh, is that the one? Is that the one you had?
Guys,
sorry.
Well, you definitely fit that show. I can tell why you want to get, because you are an Al Bundy.
Oh, so is Jack. You guys should watch that together.
Yeah.
Christina was a fan favorite back in the day.
Yeah.
So,
guys, I give the Eagles an A here. It's not even close. I mean, anybody that's sensical wouldn't disagree with this.
Yeah.
You know, Ike knows what I'm talking about.
I do.
Every starter on offense is returning, except Becton, because he's going to go someplace else. But
nope.
You know, the guard. So, but Saquon, you know, the contract with him. This is typical Howie. You guys talked about this yesterday, and it was genius. He's getting out in front of it, all right? So he's bringing him back so he doesn't have to redo the contract next year because it's going to cost more because you get the Gibbs contract and a whole bunch of others done. But what they're doing is they're setting the tables because next year we got to redo the Carter contract. We got to do Cam Jordan's contract. So there's going to be already enough big contracts out there that need to be done. So I'm all on board. I think it was genius. What he's doing, how he's manipulating the cap. For Tell the Truth Thursday, I got to tell the truth. As a proud member of the Exciting Whites, I don't want Henriksen or Bosa. Bosa's got stench on him, but Bosa in the past 3 years, guys, he's only played 28 games and had 13 sacks. I'm out on Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not paying him. Don't want him.
Well, he's definitely not getting any real money, yeah.
Yeah, but you're going to have to do, I think. See, we either think the salary cap exists or it doesn't. And if we can't go spend a bunch of money on an edge, then we're going to have to either take a chance on someone or, like, and remember, not every guy that they signed last offseason worked out. Like, you're going to have to throw some darts. Bryce Huff didn't work out. Devin White didn't work out. So, you know, but Joey Bosa had a Pro Bowl season this year.
Yeah, but unless he's around $10 million or less, and you give him a 1 year prove it deal, which is the only reason why I think Howie might get him. He might lure that out there, but I don't think he's going to do it. He's 30 years old. He's 29. I think he's about to turn 30. I mean, he's not going to do that deal. He's not going to do a 1 year prove it deal. And I think that's the only place Howie's looking to try to do is try to get somebody cheap. That maybe he's got some talent and they want to reprove it and then get paid the next year.
And you get to play on a good team.
Yeah. I don't see it happening, guys. I just don't. I don't think they're going to throw big money at the DN. They're just not going to do that.
Listen, I kind of agree with you. It doesn't feel like the Eagles are looking to be big players from that standpoint. All these draft experts talk about how deep of a draft this is for D linemen. That certainly would go in the Eagles' favor of finding to get talent and get it at a price that they can sort of manage under their salary cap. And again, when you win the Super Bowl, I know we don't want to hear it because we want them to win the Super Bowl every year, and I get that. But when you win the Super Bowl, you don't have the same sense of desperation. You don't have to take the same risk that you've taken in years past. Like last year, when that was a risk. Not bringing back Hassan Reddick. They had decided, you know what, it's not going to work with him. We're not bringing him back. And they sign a Bryce Huff. He give Bryce Huff $51 million. That guy had one good year as a rotational player, and we're paying him like he was some elite pass rusher. That was a desperation move because they didn't know what to do about the Hassan Reddick situation. The linebackers. I didn't know if N'Kobe Dean could stay healthy. And I don't even know who the hell was on the roster at the end of the year. We had Nicholas Morrow and Zach Cunningham on this team. So what do? They go out and get one of the worst linebackers in the league when it comes to tackling who got benched in Tampa Bay and give him $5 million. That's a desperation move. Right?
It is. And to your
point, that's a desperate move.
Yep.
It caused them, because of the panic, to do some things that they didn't do that they realized as part of the success. I don't think if all things were said and we came off of the Super Bowl win a couple years ago that we lost, they wouldn't have signed Saquon.
I don't believe they would have either.
Because that was
you could have called that a panic move too. Yes. By the way,
yep.
Sometimes the panic moves work. Hey Chris, give us a TV show you'd like to have back.
My apologies to Yoshi because I'm taking one off of his board. I got to go with Baywatch.
Oh. Hardest wood I had ever touched.
You just assume that's one of Yoshi's.
Yeah. Well, Yoshi's going to go Cinemax's Real Sex, I'm sure. Or is that HBO? I can't remember. Yeah. I think Yoshi probably enjoyed Baywatch. Coming up next, if you didn't hear it, The WIP Morning Show had Philly's president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski, on this morning. He talked about a lot of stuff. He talked about a lot of stuff. Ken from Cinna Minson said it made him want to jump out a window, basically, about how mad he got. But he talked about Trey moving to the outfield. He talked about their offseason. He talked about their trade deadline last year and the future of the team if they don't win the World Series. And you will hear that next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.